In your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. We're going back where we were this morning. Try to pick up a few things more, I think, that we need to recover. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. 1 Samuel 30 starts out talking about the town where, or the place where David and his men had been staying in Ziklag, fleeing from Saul. In verse number 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. The Amalekites had come down and had burnt the city and took their wives, and those, and was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. In verse number 8, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overcome them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them and without fail. And I love the way that's put in the Word of God, without fail, recover all. Then verse number 18 and 19, and David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives, and there were nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Let me say, David recovered all because God said, you'll surely recover all. And when God says it, that settles it, and you can rest assured of that great truth. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to be back in the house of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the day and the blessings of it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, tonight in the singing of the songs of Zion. I pray you bless these young folk and help them and live for you. And I pray, God, watch over them, care for them, keep them from sin and corruption, what the devil would have, and we'll thank you and praise you. Then I pray, God, tonight for all the requests that have been made and what's come to us personally. And then, Lord, we know the situation around the world, and we ask you, God, to help folk and look unto thee and find strength and help. Here in America, help us, Lord, help us as families and individuals realize what we need, that we may look unto you and recover that you'd have us to recover. We'll thank you and praise you. Help us to preach for a few moments. I pray for a touch of God. And Lord, open our minds and hearts to receive. I pray tonight that you get glory and exalt thine own self. Draw unsaved unto Jesus. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching on the message, some things we need to recover, and using this as a springboard for it, and thinking about David and what he did. And surely it was, and we won't go into detail about David's fleeing from Saul, but you know the story. And there they were, and we won't talk about the place where he was, except for the fact that the Amalekites came in and took all they had. And the devil, I said this morning, I want to say it again tonight, the devil is out to take away all that he can. Out of our lives spiritually, out of our families, out of our society, out of our world, all that's right and good and positive, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is against, but may God help us that we may recover some things. We talked about the family this morning, and again, I mentioned the fact that families are important, and we do need to recover our families, and I pray that God would help. We had Brother Kyle and Sister Gabby up here a while ago with little Dominic and talking about raising him for Jesus, and I believe that that's exactly what every family ought to do, is raise their children for God and teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about some things about the family. We expanded that somewhat. So I pray everybody listened closely this morning and got that part. But now, then we talked about the first love out of Revelation 2, talking about the church at Ephesus. And I read those verses about Ephesus and how that church was doing. And I'm honest with you. As I read those verses, I thought, what a great church. And that church had paid, that church stood for right. That church did what was good and right. And And yet God said, I have somewhat against you because you've left your first love. And we talked about that, and I can't get over Brother Ronnie, how his Sunday school lesson tied into what I was trying to say about that, first love. We ought never get over the fact that we got saved and born in the family of God. If you ever get over that, you're in trouble. Sure, I don't believe you can get over it. I believe you might suppress the thoughts of it somewhat. You may try to let it die down somewhat, but you can't fully get over it. Like I said a while ago when I read the scripture, train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. They may stray, they may get in trouble, but they'll remember what they've been taught down through the years. Somewhere God's going to bring to their attention what they have been taught. I know there's some precious families here that have children they're praying for and love to see, and I believe that God is able to do that. I believe our God's strong enough and able enough to do that in our day. So we need to recover families, need to recover that first love, and let it burn in us. I mean, let that first love excite us and stir us. Then we talked about the fear of God. And I want to say tonight again, we do need to recover the fear of God in our society today. There's very little shown of the fear of God. People talk about things just like it doesn't make any difference what the Bible says, doesn't make any difference what God says. They're going to do their thing and live their life and leave God out. You can't do that. You can't leave God out because you must fear the Lord. And it's a fearful thing. Hebrews 10:31. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And this morning I tried to mention that, and somebody came to me after church and thanked me for mentioning about the fear of God. And because he thought we ought not be afraid of God. And that's right. We ought not be afraid as we are of somebody holding a gun to your head. But we ought to fear God in the sense that he is God. He is a creator, and we must meet him one day and give an account of ourselves to him. And we should fear God in an awesome, reverent fear of the living God. And tonight I stand here in this place and realize I stand responsible to God to preach the word of God. And I find myself in a reverent fear of God in doing so tonight. This is not to be taken lightly. It's not to be taken lightly what we teach or preach or what we say, how we live, what we do, because we ought to have a fear of God in our lives. Now, I want to give you three other things tonight, and I pray God would help us because I need help with it. And the first one is faith. We need to recover our faith. And when I say the faith, now, I'm not talking about the faith, as Jude said, contend for the faith. I'm talking about the body of beliefs that Christians have. But I'm going to plug this in right here. We better contend for the faith as well as what else I'm going to say tonight, because somebody just brought me something tonight. I was reading it in a church just out the road, and I'm going to comment a whole lot. I won't call the name, won't talk about that, but you'll guess what it is anyway. But they have two services, and one of them is geared to young folks so that they can live their lifestyle and suit their lifestyle. And then the other one's geared to old folk, and they'll preach from the Bible. I say hogwash. Amen. And you remember that baloney we talked about this morning? That's a bunch of baloney. Amen. You say, preach, you ought not to say that. I believe this with all my heart, that you ought to know what you believe and believe it. Amen. And what's good for me to preach to you as older folks, good for these young folk right down here. Amen. Same gospel, same Jesus, same word. And we're not going to cater to a certain group or a certain kind. And we're here for people to come in, hear about Jesus, love God, shout victory, hallelujah, and move on for God. You say, preacher, I wouldn't have said that. I'm kind of wondering why I said it. But anyway, God said that, so I said it. Amen. But why I said that for is because that kind of thing is springing up everywhere, and families are falling for it. And they'll have the numbers come in for it because it suits their lifestyle. And they can have a little bit of religion mixed in with their life and think everything's all right. I believe we ought to stand boldly for what the truth is. And you can't stand boldly for what truth is if you don't tell what untruth is. And so welcome, amen. And just say praise. I would rather they just preach Jesus and preach the word of God. And they don't have to have a name tag like we have as Baptists, but I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist, amen. And I know there's some Baptists I'm ashamed of, but I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. But I can tell you right now that We're not here to cater to you. We're not here to tell somebody their lifestyle's okay. You just come on in, get saved. Not get saved, just sign the card or make some kind of a profession or do something and then go on about your life and have the music that you desire and everything that you want the way you want it. And you know what we'd have had tonight up here with the young folk? We'd have the beat of the old rock and roll stuff that they have, and we'd have that kind of stuff going on, and we'd have young folk, they could have that kind of zeal. I want them to have a zeal of the Holy Ghost in their heart. I like it when I saw Jordan raise her hand for Jesus. I like it when I saw Brother Dallas raise his hand. I like it when they sang for the glory of God. I say hallelujah. Amen. That's the kind of movement we love to see in the house of God. That's what we want to see is them. Now, I've got that off my chest. And by the way, the pastor is a woman's name and a man's name. How about that? Well, I just thought I'd plug it in. Anyhow, I don't find that in the Word of God anywhere. Amen. I didn't find Paul saying, now, Timothy, you and Miss Timothy, pastor of this church. Now, my wife is a pastor's wife, but she doesn't pastor. Amen, I do. Amen. You're welcome, amen. That'll help her too. No, I'm kidding. There went my late snack tonight. I'll have to get my own crackers out. Amen. But in all seriousness, that kind of thing, reason why that's on my mind so much, we've been approached about something, but it's just the fact that that's happening all across the country. It's happening everywhere. And it is coming more prevalent every day of our lives. And young folk, I want you to know the truth. I want young adults to know the truth. I want to keep their children in an old-fashioned church that loves God, preaches the Word of God for people as they are, so God can help us all. Amen. We're no better than they are. We're nothing outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I will contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints by this word right here and ask God to help us. Amen. Well, so much for that. But anyway, I'm talking about faith, believing God now. And I need help in that because I need to believe God. I'm so much of the time, I say I believe God. I'm praying about something, trying to believe God for it, and yet having doubts. And I'm sure some of y'all have the same problem I have. Amen. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And verse number 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we need to believe God. We need to take him at his word and believe him. Psalm 78:41 talks about Israel coming up to the Jordan River, getting ready to cross over. And the Bible said, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God because they did not believe God to do what he said he would do. God said, I'll take you into Canaan. I'm taking you that land flowing milk and honey. When they got there, got ready to go over, and he'd already opened the Red Sea. He'd already taken them through all that and got them ready to go into Canaan. And then they balked on it and tempted God and limited God from doing what God wanted to do. 40 years later, he took them in. He could have took them in 40 years earlier had they believed God. And so tonight we need to believe God. We need to recover that believing, praying, and believing God for what we ought to be believing him for. I want you to turn in John chapter 11. John chapter 11, dealing with Jesus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. Look at verse number 21. John 11, verse number 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now he's talking to Martha. And verse number 32, Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And then, of course, that's the shortest verse in the Bible, verse number 35, Jesus wept. He saw them weeping. He wept with them, showing compassion for them. I believe he also wept over their unbelief. But look in verse number 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, now the one that just confessed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, one that he had just told, I am the resurrection and the life. The same woman came, and when he said, take away, Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. He just had said, I am the resurrection and the life. And yet here she is saying, by this time he stinketh. Now notice what he said in verse 40. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And here now he's putting her on the spot and saying, I said to you, if you believe, you'd see the glory of God. And so tonight, I want to be one of those that will believe what God said. I want to act on faith and believe the just shall live by faith. And I want to act on that faith of what God said and do what God said. And God said to David here in our text, he said, thou shalt surely recover all. And what if David said, well, I don't know about that, fighting all the Amalekites and going after them, and they've already taken our whole family, everything. He could have balked on that and said, I'm not sure God will do that. But he took God at his word and went after them and did what God said, and they recovered all. I say tonight, we need in our churches, in my life, I need it. In your life, you need. We need to recover some faith in believing God for what he said he'd do, he'll do. Amen. And asking God for those things that we know God said is his will, and do them for the glory of God. God said he'd save you and your family. I believe God will, amen. I believe God will do what he said. We need to recover that faith and believe God and act on him. Now, that's easy for me to stand up here and preach it than it is to walk out the doors and live it, amen. It's easier than it is getting on my knees and praying for it and believing that it's going to happen. And I know how the devil works. He sneaks in your mind, begins to bring in doubts and fears. But we need to just believe God and take him at his word and ask God for it and believe it's going to happen. When you really believe something's going to happen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Faith is, God created the earth by faith. He said, let there be, and there was. I talked this little morning a little bit about creation and about God and creating all things. I mentioned the Big Bang Theory, and I was thinking about this afternoon. I was just kind of thinking around a little bit about this thing, and I thought about this. I wonder where they explained the bang came from, or what banged anyhow. I mean, if material flew out, where did that material come from? If there's nothing out there, then where did that something come from? You have to go back somewhere and have something to start with. And that something is someone who is a living God that created the heavens and the earth. And I say hallelujah unto him. If he can take nothing and make something, then surely he can answer my prayer and your prayer. And the word of God said now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. That's a whole lot, amen. I believe that our God can do that, and we ought to believe God and trust God. We've been talking about the Sudan and praying for Sudan. God, give us some help in getting finances for people to go and help us get some people to go. And God's beginning to answer that prayer. Amen. We need to keep on believing God, trusting God for it. God can and will do that. Amen. And I say hallelujah. And some of y'all are praying about your family. Some of y'all are praying about different things in your life. Just keep on believing that God's going to do it. It's not the preacher's going to do it. It's not Sunday school's going to do it. It's not the singing's going to do it. God Almighty himself has to do the work in the heart. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. And praise his name, he does. Let me say secondly tonight, I want to talk about the fervency in prayer. We need to recover that fervency in prayer. In James 5:16, says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that those two words caught my attention, fervent and earnest. And pray, let me quote that again. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, maybe he'll get you. Effectual, the effectual, fervent. That word effectual means, Webster said, it means to have the desires that you seek. And then fervent means passion.
So I'm going to put a little bit of my stewardology in this and definition of it. Fervent praying is the highest concern that we can have, and getting a hold of something and having such a burden for it that it's like Rachel in Genesis chapter 30, verse 1. She said, "Give me children, else I die." She said, "I cannot stand it if I don't have children." That's fervent praying. And she was talking to Jacob. She's talking to the wrong one. And he told her he wasn't God. But anyhow, she had that kind of desire. But we need that kind of praying. "Lord, I can't stand it. I can't take it. I've got to have an answer for that." And I many times mentioned that woman in Matthew chapter 22. I guess some of my favorite scripture found there, and that Gentile woman, Canaan woman of Cana, came out, and she cried to Jesus about her daughter who was grievously vexed with the devil. Her daughter wouldn't come, but she came to Jesus, and she came in her behalf, and she was pleading for her. Hey, here's fervent praying. At first, Jesus didn't even hear her. You ever pray, seem like heaven's brass? You can't get anywhere, not going anywhere. I have, you have, but she just kept on. And Jesus, and then the disciples said, "Send her away. Devil come by and said, but thought to my, why are you praying for that one for? Ain't no use in doing that. You're wasting your breath. It's not going to happen." That's what the devil will tell you. But fervent praying will chunk that and get that out and keep on praying, keep on asking, and keep on going after it. And she did. And finally, Jesus said, "But I'm not sent for the lost house of Israel." And she kept on, and she came after that. And the Bible says she worshiped him and said, "Lord, help me." Hey, I want you to know fervent praying don't quit when doubts come. Fervent praying, earnest praying, don't quit. That high burden praying, don't quit when doubts come and somebody make you doubt. Somebody else will say to you, "Well, I don't believe they're ever going to get saved. I don't believe that's ever going to happen. I don't believe that'll take place." Just keep on praying. And she did. And then Jesus said, "It's not meet to take a children's bread and cast it to dogs." That's where most of us would have quit, sure enough. But she said, "Truth, Lord, yet dogs eat crumbs which fall from the master's table." She's praying fervently. She's saying, "I want a crumb. I'll take a crumb off of God's table. Hear me, my daughter's out there. She's grievously vexed with the devil. She needs some help. And I'm going to keep on coming. Lord Jesus, do you hear me? Do you help me?" That's what she was saying. That wasn't in that many words, but that's what she was doing. And she said, "I'm just like a dog. I don't deserve anything. I'm not here because I deserve it. I'm just asking you because I believe you can do it and will do it." And that's fervent praying. Amen. We need some fervent praying. Effectual. Having the desire. Effectual. Fervent praying. And I said a while ago about faith, believing that God will do what God said he'd do. And so we can pray that way and keep on praying, asking God to do it. Isaiah 66 and 8 says, "When Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." Now, when a woman's travailing in birth, that's not just, "I got a little pain. I believe I'll go have a cup of coffee." Amen. I remember when Brother Tori was here and Sister Dawn, they're about to have a new life born in their family. I was in a room with them, and we was talking around there a little bit, and all of a sudden she let out a cry, and I said, "Let's pray." Then I said, "I'll be in the waiting room. I'm gone." Amen. And she didn't say, "I believe I'll go and just sit down and eat a sandwich with you," or something like that. She was travailing in pain for a birth. Amen. And what we do, we get tired of that travail. We get tired of that burden, and we kind of let up on, "Amen, oh me." I'm trying to tell you tonight, we need to recover that kind of praying, that kind of crying out to God. I mean fervent praying, crying to God to help us. We need help, amen. I need help in trying to reach others for Christ. I need help with burdens for people, and I'm praying for some. I need some help. I need more faith and believing God's going to do it. I need to keep asking God. I need to fervently pray and ask God for what I'm praying for. Amen and amen. And may God help us in this as we do so. Then let me say this in closing tonight. We need to recover our faithfulness. Our faithfulness. Now, he is faithful, but we need to be faithful unto God. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, "Requiring stewards that a man be found faithful." In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we need to study the word of God, get a hold of the word of God. Then it said, pray without ceasing. We need to pray and ask God and keep on praying, believing God and asking God and fervently praying. But our faithfulness, we need to be faithful ourselves to the house of God. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see that day approaching. You and I said this morning, are living in days of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back, amen. And you and I have the privilege to live in this generation, and we ought to certainly be able to pray and have faith and fervently pray and have faith and believe God. But we need to be faithful to the things of God, faithful to his word, faithful to his house, and faithful to tell others about Jesus, faithful, stand for the truth, the right, and let God help us day by day. Faithfulness. How faithful are you? How faithful am I in the things of God? We need to recover those things. Father, I pray the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Help us as we think about these things that you said in thy word that we need to recover. Lord, David recovered all. I believe you're able to help us recover. Lord, some of us have wavered in believing you and what you do. Father, I put myself in that category and ask you to help me. I pray, Lord, for the salvation of souls. I pray for your work in hearts tonight. And I pray you'd help all of us, Lord, that we'd look unto you, find the strength and the help that we need. I pray your will be accomplished. Lord, tonight over this house is somebody somewhere that you're speaking to in a special way that needs to let you help them so they can live for God and be a testimony and be a light in this dark world. I pray for that precious person tonight that you'd help them step out for Jesus and let you help them. Father, some need to get saved. Some need to rededicate their life, or some just need to come and ask you to help them to recover some things in their lives they need to recover. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.